Blog Talk Radio. Radio.
Greetings, listeners. I'm not sure how far my range really is. I've given the link to my Facebook audience, mostly my closer by friends that are in the United States. So I'm kind of curious who can, if other people can hear the show. It's fine if it's international. Well, so today's show, I'm reviewing the year. It could be clearer, I guess, but it will cost money, so it'll be as good as it can be, I guess. I might just really quickly see if I can hook in my microphone and see if I there's any effect of that. Testing, like, yeah, I can't see that. So I'm just going to use a regular cell phone that we're recording on. Okay, so I'm Linda, and thanks for listening. Interestingly enough, you can. Okay. Okay, I just really wanted to start the show off to let people know and try to share this message that the Bible and Jesus, Yeshua is his, was his original name, which meant he saves, it can be seen as promoting egalitarianism and sustainable civil culture. Not everyone realizes that. And I just saw yesterday there's a woman historian at Baylor University, I believe, in Waco, Texas. And she has a book that's coming out, and she has some 3 YouTube, very short talks about women in the Bible and in Christianity and how it can, we can, it, people have interpreted it that to further the structures of patriarchy, but it, we can also look at the evidence that it does not have to be promoting patriarchy. And if you can find her blog, I saw her blog, not having that written down in front of me here, but she had a great story on it so far that I read, and that was that she's looked in, she's a medieval scholar, and she has looked into the Ethiopian church, which is, has a very lot of history. They've carefully cared for history. And very early on in the church, well, there was a woman who, she wanted her child to be baptized, and she was going by boat somewhere to have her child baptized, maybe from North Africa to, you know, Europe or Italy. It sounded like it was Catholic or something. But there was a huge storm, and she thought, oh, my child, I want my child to be baptized before I, before my child might die in the storm. So she, like, cut herself and used the blood to put, like, a cross on her forehead and her child's forehead, baby's forehead, and then used the water maybe to baptize the baby. And when she got to the person who she was going to have baptized the baby, it could not, the water was like beating, and it wasn't baptized, it didn't seem like it was working. And then as person asked her what happened, and, you know, she had said what she did on the way out of desperation because, you know, she didn't want them to die and not be baptized. the priest or bishop said, you have done an effective baptism already. That's why I cannot baptize. And so that's interesting. I actually have been told by, I believe, the Holy Spirit that I could do baptism, which is interesting too. And so I'm like the only, like the main person that actually listens to this man of God that the Holy Spirit told me I could call a man of God. So that's kind of interesting. Okay. Also, she mentioned in Romans, the same historian, that, you know, I believe I had read that too. There's a lot of mentioning of how women were so helpful in the early church. They were hosting with home houses for meetings. There were women disciples too. Mary of Magdala, there were three different Marys, and she was the one that was cleared of a lot of spirits, that Jesus cleared of a lot of spirits. She also had financial resources, so she helped to finance the whole ministry, so we wouldn't even have the guidance of Jesus. He offered higher level guidance for how to be that much more civil than in the past. So we have that because of women. And there is a YouTube video, which I don't have the link to it right now. If I find it, I might add that to the a link down below this blog broadcast, or if somebody else finds other information related, feel free to add that in the comments for everyone. Okay, so just want to get through the rest of this, these topics. I have 6 minutes left. So also I want to bring up that God does care for gender irregular people and offer some guidance on that. There's one that I know, I believe he's told me himself, or somebody he's very likely that he has homosexual tendencies, but I have relayed to him, I believe this is the guidance from God, that people with gender irregular tendencies need to stick with the gender they're born with. Well, this person seems and practice self-control. Okay, and that's talked about a little, Paul talks, when he talks to the Romans, in the book of Romans, about self-control. So the person seems to still be doing good. So I want to report that. That was several years ago. I told him that, gave him that advice, and he's still alive. Yet, you know, he's looking better than when I first saw him, when he had been mugged a few years ago. So, also, when I was reading again in Matthew 5, it's a really, the book of Matthew in the Bible, chapter 5, and it's always good to look at BibleHub.com/interlinear/Matthew/5.htm to get the interlinear version. And with that, sometimes it has a little, just interesting to see the original words from Greek to English for the New Testament and from Hebrew to English in the Old Testament. Sometimes that can help Christians who are on different pages of understanding to get on the same page. So anyway, it was talking, now it may not have been in that section, but somewhere I read recently about eunuchs. So at that time when Jesus was around, people were either they were born this way or they became this way through their personal own choice or through somebody else's intervention. So that's a form of gender irregularity, right? Because you won't have the same hormones if people are if guys' genitals are their scrotum is changed or, you know, cut off, if that's what that is, entails with Enoch. So he, anyway, the point is just do your best, whatever situation, things could happen through, you know, an injury or whatever, but we just try to do our best. And the whole reason why Jesus does tend to guide, and the Bible brings us in this direction of men and women, only one man, only one woman, getting married and having children, it has to do with sustainable culture. This is about to bring me to the next point of Zechariah Sitchin. So I only have two more minutes, so I'm going to try to hurry through this. So sustainable culture, Zechariah Sitchin. You can look at his YouTube videos. He's in the mythology section near the self-help books I saw at Barnes & Noble on the bottom. But it's a great place to go for Christians to hang out there, because people come by looking for help and you're like, hey, why don't you try the Bible? That would be really helpful to know about the Holy Spirit. It's going to not hurt in your life. So anyway, I don't know. I was able to tell that to the one person and he left, and I hope he went to the Bible section. I'm not sure. But okay, so Zechariah Sitchin, he has the theory that a rogue planet, and he's read Sumerian text. He's no longer alive. He died in 2010, and he lived like a long time. I don't know. He was about 90 when he died, and he studied these texts for 50 years or more, these clay tablets in Sumeria, Mesopotamia. Some of them are from Babylon. Oh, it's all, I've only got a minute left. Well, God cares about ecology, and that's the next thing I was going to say. I was also going to say about, look at Psalm 45, that Jesus and Father God are both like God level, God above other small g gods, and the Bible does say that Jesus was given all authority in heaven and earth, and when you read Zechariah's vision stuff, heaven could be this rogue planet that came into our solar system and got in orbit in our solar system and goes the same direction that the comets go, which is not in the normal plane of the other planets, and it's also not in the normal direction of the other planets. So look into that. And, yeah, look, I have more about this that I've written, and look at my Etsy.com. site. I'm going to be working on this book petition, and that has a lot more about that. So thanks for joining this show, and I hope you didn't get bored, because it's shorter than normal. I'll have a few seconds left, and in this last little bit, I want to mention that one's an astrophysicist, the other's like has a PhD in planetary science. They both have PhDs. The astrophysicist and the other one have found that it looks like the dynamics are there of how other things are moving in our solar system, that there really could be a ninth planet. They have said there is a ninth planet, and they said that in 2016. Okay, so I guess that's it for my show here, but that was Caltech, so look that up if you want.